Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Blessing to be together with God's people in the house of God, with the Word of God, to find inspiration and encouragement for our walk with Him. May God's blessing continue upon our assembly and looking into His Word, upon you as a brotherhood, as you share a witness in this community. As one reads through the Scriptures and enjoys the accounts that we find there, one thing that's very inspiring is to see the hand of God working with His people throughout the centuries of time, and we trust God's hand continues to move among His people yet today. I'd like to look at a very familiar account. You can turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. We'll continue in the book of Acts this morning. Lessons from a man of Ethiopia. Title of this morning's message, Lessons from a Man of Ethiopia. I'd like to read this very familiar account that we have and draw half a dozen points from it that we can be encouraged by and challenged by in our personal lives today as we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's direction in guiding us and believe that God's providence and His continued ruling and directing in the hearts and minds of people and bringing people together for His glory as they respond to Him. Acts chapter 8, I'll begin reading at verse 26 through verse 40. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that thou goest down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Jerusalem. Very beautiful account. Very inspiring to see the Holy Spirit working in the minds, hearts, thoughts of two people, bringing them together for God's glory and each of their mutual blessing and benefit. So we'd like to just draw 6 points from this passage this morning to inspire and challenge us in our walk of life today. Point number one, lessons from a man of Ethiopia. He was a worshiper. This man was a worshiper. We have that in verse 27. It says who he was, and he had come to Jerusalem for to worship. How far was it that he had traveled. How interested was he in worship? He had come for to worship. We are told that it was approximately 1,500 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. Quite a distance for him to travel, which would suggest of his interest and his intent, purpose, to worship God. How long would it take for one of these horses and carriages, for him and his horses and carriages, his chariot, to travel from Ethiopia to Jerusalem for to worship? Probably weeks to go there. But he had come for to worship. A challenge for us: how intense are we for worship? To what extent are we willing to go to the house of God to worship? Are you here this morning to worship? Someone has said that one's presence in the house of worship is no guarantee that he is a worshiper. Your presence here this morning is not a guarantee that you are worshiping. I'm not questioning your integrity. I'm not questioning your intent for being here. Examine our own hearts. Did you come to worship? And as you are here, are you a worshiper? If you are here and you are truly a worshiper, you are more than a worshiper here on Sunday morning. True worshipers worship God from their heart in their daily walk of life. And as I see the intensity of this man's heart and his desire to worship and the other points that we're going to notice about him this morning, he wasn't just a Sabbath day worshiper or a Sunday worshiper. He had a heart toward God. Well, God wants us to worship him. All men, we are told, men and women are worshipers of someone or something. Are we worshipers of the true God? Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7, our call to worship. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let us come and worship and bow down and worship our great God, as did this man. None of us traveled for weeks to get here this morning. We put forth effort, and we will be rewarded for being here if we came with a true heart desiring to worship. Are you a true worshiper this morning? Am I here to worship? Are my thoughts here? What will my thoughts be about my worship as I travel home today? This man was traveling home. He was on his way home from church, if you will. And he was continuing to worship. More on that in just a bit. Point number two. Number one, he was a worshiper. Point number two, he was a seeker. This man was a seeker. We don't know what he heard as he went to Jerusalem and listened to the law read, perhaps. We're not sure what the message was that he had heard. But he was continuing his worship on his way home from church. He was continuing his worship. A challenge for me. Do I take the thoughts of the Sunday school lesson this morning, the devotional this morning, the words of the song, the worshipful songs that we sang together, do I take them with me on my way home from worship, as did this man? He wasn't done worshiping when he left to go home. He was sitting in his chariot. He was a seeker. There are promises in the scriptures for those who are seekers, those who seek God. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, those that seek me early shall find me. That's a promise from God. And we saw that come true in this man of Ethiopia. He was a seeker of God. And as he sought God, God revealed himself to him. God moved in the life of another man of God, brought them together to aid him in his seeking after God. This morning, brothers and sisters, I believe God continues with his Holy Spirit, the direction of the Holy Spirit, to bring people together, seekers and those who already perhaps know the truth, to help them to grow in their understanding. Those that seek me early shall find me. May we claim those promises. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He was a seeker. And God rewarded him because he was a diligent seeker. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And they may have read from Isaiah 53 in that time of worship while he was there. Or he may have been exposed to that chapter. And he may have been pondering in his mind what all was meant by that and reading over it again. And as he was riding in his chariot, I'm picturing horses drawing a chariot going about 12 or 15 miles an hour. Is that what you would envision as he's heading for home? I'm picturing them going maybe 2 or 3 miles an hour. The horses are walking slow. And he's meditating on the scriptures. And he's reading in Isaiah chapter 53. And he's not sure what this all means. But he's reading it aloud, apparently, because Philip comes close to him, and here's what he's reading. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I unless someone explains it to me? He was a seeker. And God blessed him abundantly for his seeking. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. With what kind of desire do I worship and seek God? May God examine our hearts and challenge us in that area. And so this man is on his way home from church. He's a worshiper. He's a seeker. Point number 3, he was receptive to truth. He was a worshiper. He was a seeker. And he was opening his heart, and he was receptive to learn new truth. A challenge for my heart and my life. As I read the scriptures, as you read the scriptures, do you read them? And as you worship, is it with a desire to draw closer to God and understand more fully his word and his will for our lives? That needs to be the desire by which we read God's word and we worship and seek him. He was receptive to truth. We have that in verses 31 through 35. How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Then it tells us what passage he was reading there in Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Very beautiful what is happening. What is unfolding here? As this worshiper on his way home from church continues to pore over the scriptures and pore over what he may have heard as he came to Jerusalem to worship and desired to know more about God. And he's reading, and here the Holy Spirit guides this man of God to come to him and sit with him in his chariot and explain to him the scriptures and expound to him about Jesus. Beautiful. How the Holy Spirit will direct people. And I believe the Holy Spirit continues to be active in that way today. The question I have for myself and I have for you this morning, are you sensitive to the Spirit's speaking and directing you? If the Holy Spirit brings to your mind to bring a word of encouragement to someone, by all means do it. If the Holy Spirit lays it on your heart to stop by a neighbor and talk to them, by all means respond to that. That neighbor may be reading Isaiah 53 and not be sure how to understand it and need you to show them that it's about Jesus, and you have an opportunity to testify of what Jesus has done for you, for me, for all of us. He was receptive to truth. Is it possible that there are people in our surrounding communities, our neighbors, that are receptive to truth, but they aren't sure how to understand it? And they need you, a man of God, a woman of God, by your life and example, and your words and your teaching, to help them to have a better understanding. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's direction in that way. Verse 34 reminds us that he wanted to understand. How can I, except some man should teach me? How can I, except some man or woman should help me to understand, explain the scripture to me? Very beautiful what is happening here. Point number four, he believed in Jesus. We have that in verse 35 and verse 37. Philip opened the scriptures, opened his mouth, and began to, in the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. The end of verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believed in Jesus. And so I see a buildup, a sequence of events happening here. He's a worshiper. He's a seeker. He's open to further truth. And he opens his heart to Jesus. And it's so touching to watch people grow in their understanding, to watch our children grow in their understanding. Parents, you have a responsibility to be a worshiper, a true worshiper, in guiding your children and guiding your families, men and women of God. To be true worshipers, to be true seekers, to be obviously open to God's will and leading an opening of new truth as your children observe your lives. And they need to see Jesus working in your life. As this man saw in the life and experience of Philip. He believed in Jesus. What does it mean to believe? To believe means to have a confident conviction that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. That's what it means to believe this morning. To be a believer in Jesus. And this Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To believe is to have a confident conviction that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. And to trust him as your Savior. To have a confident conviction that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, and to trust him as your Savior, to commit to living the way you know he wants you to live. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. Believe who the Bible says he is, commit to being one of his followers, trust in him as your Savior, and commit to living the way the scriptures teach he would have us to live. Then you are a believer. And then alone. Apply his atonement and his teaching to your life. Had the response of Saul, who became Paul, when the Holy Spirit came down and smote him, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's a teachable spirit. And that's an expression of believing in God this morning. Point number five. He desired to be baptized. We have that in verse 36. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And so this ongoing events here. This worshiper, this seeker, this man who is open to truth, this man who believes in Jesus, desires to be baptized. Verse 36. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I believe this morning that will be the desire of every true believer of God. As he opens the scriptures and tries to understand God's will for a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, he will desire to be baptized, as did this man of Ethiopia. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm assured this morning that I am talking to a congregation of brothers and sisters who have been baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ and have become stones in the building, if you will, members of the Bride of Christ, members in the body. May I remind us this morning, and we trust it is a result of us being worshipers, seekers, receptive to truth, believing in Jesus Christ, and desiring to be baptized and become a part, a member of the body of Jesus Christ. As we were baptized and made those vows before God and those witnesses who listened in on us, and we had that seal put on our heart that we dedicated our life to Jesus Christ. A baptism is a seal, if you will. A lifelong seal that we are going to be followers of Jesus Christ. And that is a commitment that this man desired to make after being led to Jesus. All as a result of his worship, his seeking, his receptivity to truth, and his confession of Jesus Christ. A beautiful succession of events that unfolded here. And so, each one of you who have made those five steps that we saw this man take and are now members of the body of Jesus Christ, as you had that seal of commitment and baptism, you promised that you would love the Lord Jesus with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength for the rest of your life. That you would follow through on the teachings of 1 John chapter 1. Love not the world. You said you would forsake the world and its allurements and dedicate your life to Jesus Christ for the rest of your life. That's what the seal of baptism and those vows indicated. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. A love for God, a love for the truth of God's word. Our final point, point number six, he went on his way rejoicing. The joy of the Lord was his experience. I believe he was experiencing the joy of the Lord when he came to worship. I believe he felt that joy expanding as he sought further truth and sought to have a closer walk with God and a greater understanding of God and his word and the law. And as it turned out to be, the unfolding of a Savior, his Savior Jesus Christ. That is a rejoicing experience this morning. Do you find that rejoicing in that progression of experience? As you gathered here for worship, it should be a joyous experience. One that you'd long for. You look forward to meeting with the people of God. Where would you rather be this morning on a Sunday morning than with the people of God, with the children of God? Excuse me. It's where we love to be. It's a place of rejoicing, joyfulness. He went on his way rejoicing. As you leave this place this morning, you did not travel weeks to get here, as did he, but you put forth effort. God bless you for that, and God will bless you for that. And if you came as a true worshiper, you know, the frame of mind that we approach worship services in is very directly impacts what we receive while we are here. Come anticipating, come praying, come seeking, and you will go home filled. Preachers have a great responsibility. Sunday school teachers have a great responsibility. Devotional leaders have great responsibility. Song leaders have responsibility. But I personally, in my heart, as I prepare for worship, as I come to the house of God, as this man did, the frame of mind and the level of worship in my heart has much to do with what I will receive and how I will benefit from my time of worship with the people of God. Take that personal responsibility. Come to the house of God in prayer. Pray throughout the week. Pray on Saturday night for those who have responsible places in teaching and preaching the Word of God. Engage. I believe this man engaged. He came all that distance to worship. And he wasn't done worshiping when he left the sanctuary. He continued to worship on his way home. What will your thoughts be when you leave here? What will your discussion be 2 minutes after the service today? May God challenge our hearts to be true worshipers and continue that worship experience. Other things are important to talk about, I understand that. But let's be true worshipers and be enthusiastic worshipers, inspiring each other as we worship from time to time. He was a worshiper. He was a seeker. He desired further truth. He accepted further truth. He believed in Jesus. He was baptized. He went on his way rejoicing. As I think of my life, as you think of yours, and you write down those 6 points and have your name at the top of there, can you check mark each one? Can you check mark each one? That should be our life's experience. And if it is, God can use you. He can use us to touch the lives of others. And he will. May we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's direction and guidance in that respect. God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?